The simple fun of slushing down a snowy slope brought real hope to the people in one of Afghanistan's oldest towns, at least for a few years. Travel writer Tim Neville tells us what he found at the Afghan Ski Challenge in Bamyan Province in just a bit. And listeners share some of their fondest travel memories with us a little later in the hour. Let's start out today's Travel with Rick Steves with a return visit from Adam Russell Taylor to help us commemorate the Martin Luther King Day holiday. To mark the stories of America's long, troubled history with civil rights and to celebrate the progress the nation has made and will continue to make, let's plan a road trip to actual sites that have been part of our nation's journey. It'd be great if every American visited the major museums that focus on the civil rights struggles of African Americans. To inspire us to follow the trail of civil rights history that starts in the South and extends beyond, let's check in with Adam Russell Taylor. Adam is the president of Sojourners. It's a nonprofit organization that's advocated for social justice issues from a Christian perspective. I've been a fan of Sojourners for years, and I love Adam's work there. And Adam joins us now to inspire us to embark on a history trip across America that we might call the Martin Luther King Trail. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So what makes up the Martin Luther King Trail, and why does it matter?
Well, I really believe that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the most significant leaders, and I would even call him a prophet, in our nation's history. He helped to transform our nation, clearly joined by so many other civil rights leaders, Fannie Lou Hamer and Ella Baker and Bob Moses and others. And so I think, you know, that's a critical reason why we should learn more about King, but also understand that we can't freeze frame King just in one speech, like the I Have a Dream speech. You know, Dr. King spoke to the what he called the evil triplets of militarism, racism, and materialism that continue to confront America. And he was speaking about that back in the 1960s. And those are still three challenges that we face today. So I think in so many ways, his words were quite prescient.
You know, one theme of your book is that we can't know where we're going as a nation until we have a better grasp of where we've been. And we can get that grasp, I think, through travel. One of your chapters is called Telling the Whole Truth to Set Us Free. And in it, you reflect on your experience visiting the National Memorial and the Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. How were these sites impactful for you?
Yeah, they are extremely transformational. So many of us might be familiar with Bryan Stevenson, who started the Equal Justice Initiative. There's now a movie about his book, Just Mercy. He had the vision to create the first ever museum, first a memorial, dedicated to tell the story, a very ugly part of our nation's story, about lynching, about the 4,000 Blacks that were lynched between 1877 and 1950. Now, this is a part of our history that we have often erased or buried. It's not a comfortable one, but I agree that, borrowing the words of James Baldwin, those who refuse to acknowledge their history remain captive to it.
Oh.
And so, you know, this memorial is so powerful. He was able to erect a monument, these kind of bronze monuments for all of the victims of lynching. And there's one for each of the 800 counties where there are documented cases of lynchings. And what's so brilliant about this is not only can you go and you witness this and you see, you know, these big columns, bronze columns with the names etched in them, but he created a replica column that he wants each and every courthouse and county to reclaim, to put up their own bronze column in a public space where these lynchings actually happened. And I'm hoping that he's gotten more traction in getting counties across the South in particular to be willing to show and to tell some of this history.
So where exactly is this and how would we find it as travelers?
So it is in Montgomery, Alabama. And not only is there the National Memorial, there's also what's called the Legacy Museum, which does a brilliant job of not only telling the history of slavery and Jim Crow segregation, but doing it in a way that connects the dots between our past and our present. You know, it tells a seamless story of how racism evolved over time and continues to show up in our system of mass incarceration and in racialized policing and other challenges.
Adam Russell Taylor is the president of the nonprofit religious and social justice organization, Sojourners. Adam's written A More Perfect Union, to provide a new vision for building a community with room for everyone. His organization's website is sojo.net, and you can follow Adam on Twitter at Rev Adam Taylor. Adam, one of the, to me, the mall in Washington, D.C. is is such an important part of our culture and our soul as a nation. And one of the newest additions to them all is the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Tell us about the significance of that.
Yeah, it is a remarkable museum, and I really hope that every person listening, every American is able to visit it. It took years and years to mount a campaign to convince the Smithsonian to build a museum, and I'm grateful they did. When you start out in the museum in the basement, you start out having to confront the history of slavery. And as you move up the museum, it starts to, you know, get more and more hopeful in a lot of ways. You know, you go through the period of Jim Crow segregation, and then you get to the civil rights movement. And then by the time you get to the top, you know, they have these amazing exhibits about all the ways African Americans have contributed to music, you know, the creation of jazz music and blues and so much more. So it is one of my favorite museums in the country, and it takes much more than a day to do it justice. And I really do hope and pray everyone has a chance to see it.
So they can put that on our list when we go to Washington, D.C. And, you know, I was so impressed by the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. I went there after dark, and it was just, for me, it was just a magical moment to be there and read the inscriptions and to think of the importance of this man.
No question. The 16 quotes that are inscribed on the wall at the memorial are extremely powerful. And, you know, I don't envy the committee that had to select just 16, because there's certainly so many more that they could have chosen from. But the memorial is really worth seeing.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Adam Russell Taylor. His book is A More Perfect Union, A New Vision for Building the Beloved Community. And we build the beloved community. We overcome our divisiveness by traveling and learning from our history. And let's head south here and talk a little more about the civil rights era and the museums we might find down there. In Memphis, there's the National Civil Rights Museum. What's that one like?
That one is really significant because it literally is built into the Lorraine Motel, which is where King was tragically assassinated in 1968. And so you can see the balcony where he was shot. The museum also has lots of other, you know, really powerful exhibits as well. But I think the kind of signature thing that is really worth experiencing and seeing is the site where Dr. King had his life stolen from him.
So that would be in Memphis. And when I think of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I think of Atlanta. And there are several sites worth considering when you go to Atlanta next time.
Absolutely. So just a little personal parenthetical note. When I went to college in 1994, just aging myself a little bit, but I went to Emory University. And the first Sunday that I was in Atlanta, I went to go worship at Ebenezer Baptist Church and just was blown away. That's the home church of Dr. Martin Luther King. Joined the church and then started volunteering at the Martin Luther King Center for Nonviolence. Now, back when I was—
Wait a minute. You
that,
went to Ebenezer Baptist Church and you were just blown away by physically going there and worshiping. Can anybody drop in on a Sunday service there and enjoy that inspiration?
Yeah, they sure can. The original church is still there, and you can take a tour of it. The current Ebenezer Baptist Church just kind of outgrew that building, so they built a large church complex that's literally right across the street adjacent to the museum. Mm-hmm. It's also pretty important to note that the current pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church is now a senator in the United States Congress. Raphael Warnock is the first Black senator ever elected in Georgia.
Wow. So then you head out into Atlanta, inspired to sightsee with that in mind. What are you going to go to?
So I definitely would go to the King Center itself, where you have what's called the Eternal Flame, which is where the ashes of Dr. King are buried. And across the street, there's a whole museum about Dr. King's life, which is really worth seeing. Mm-hmm. And then there's a newest addition, which is the Museum for Human Rights, that I think was built about 10 years ago and really tells the story of how Atlanta and Dr. King became an inspiration and beacon for supporting human rights causes around the world. And so it just does a great job of connecting the civil rights movement with kind of what happened in Tiananmen Square in China and what happened with the apartheid system or anti-apartheid movement in South Africa and many more stories like that.
Adam, we've just had time to touch on a few of these sites, but if you want to learn more about civil rights and Martin Luther King related sites, where would we look?
Well, there's a civil rights trail with more than 100 sites in 15 different states. And so I definitely encourage you to visit some of those. I mean, they are spread out all over the country, so we'd have to kind of do a cross-country tour to really do justice to all of them.
All over the country. Talking about all of these important sites and so on, you know, for a family that is privileged and white, it can be distant, and we have a responsibility not to make it distant. But for a family like yours, your mom was black, your dad was white, your wife's from Jamaica, your kids are young and inundated with all sorts of complicated news. How are you handling parenting when it comes to exposing your boys to this part of our national heritage?
I really feel strongly that the more we expose them in age-appropriate ways to the fullness of our history, the more we empower our children. I think we do a disservice when we try to negate or deny, you know, parts of our history. So I really try to expose them to it. And I've taken them to the National African American History Museum. We have, you know, done a lot of work to try to help them understand our nation's history and, you know, to be certainly proud of the ways in particular that African Americans have so often been a democratizing force in our nation's history, to call us to be our best selves and to fully live out the promise of liberty and justice for all.
In your book, A More Perfect Union, you wrote about a letter you wrote to your young sons. I thought that letter was so poignant, and it spoke to me, and it could speak to any caring American. To wrap our discussion up right now, could you just sum up the message you gave to your sons that we can all think about?
Well, I try to impress upon them that these divisions are not new. Our country has been divided from the very beginning, particularly over the compromise around slavery, making African Americans three-fifths of a person. But that we are on a journey of striving to create a more perfect union, because the beauty and the brilliance of this country is in the striving to create a more perfect union, which is tied to the work of creating a more inclusive and just America. And then I ended by saying that it's their generation that ultimately I think has the greatest power and potential to get this right, in part because of the work that's been done before them, but also because I think they're a generation that is truly going to get it and is going to help us embrace this vision.
Boy, that's reason for hope. Adam Russell Taylor, the book A More Perfect Union, A New Vision for Building the Beloved Community. Thank you so much for joining us and best wishes with your work.
Thank you.
We'll hear what hope the Afghan Ski Challenge brought for a season to the people of Bamyan in the middle of Afghanistan. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.